This is show host Marcia McMahon coming to you live from the BBS studios, and you are listening to the special music that we feature on our program, and that was titled Peaceful Planet Mix, originally written by Bob Murray, the lyrics are by myself, and it's directly inspired from John Lennon. So if you're a Beatles fan and you're just tuning in, you're in for some very rare and exciting music today. I'd like to welcome back everyone that normally listens and welcome our new listeners. We have a very wonderful guest. Stay tuned as we continue with the interview. We're going to be talking to Jennifer Hoffman, but before we do, I have some announcements to make, and then after that, we're going to play another song. And our topic today is going to be messages from Archangel Uriel. And Jennifer's going to be bringing through some very special messages for us. So I would like to go over some of our show announcements at the top of the hour here. I'm going to be doing a special series called The Grail Mysteries next weekend in St. Louis. So if you're in the St. Louis area, drop by to the Spirit Seeker Holistic Living Expo Sunday, March 11th from 10 to 5 at the Holiday Inn Southwest at 10709 Watson Road. I'll be doing readings with the Archangels and also the Ascended Masters, and I still have openings for sign-up. You can reach me for more information about this talk at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. And the topic of my talk from 4 to 4:30 is going to be about Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and channeled messages on what really happened in the life of Jesus. So it's going to be very interesting, as well as combining that with my regular channeled messages from Princess Diana. And I would like to encourage our listeners to visit my website at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where you can read more of messages from John Lennon, Princess Diana, Mother Teresa, and the Spiritual Hierarchy. And you can also sign up with for a private reading at the site index, and it's also usually listed on the show page. And before we get to our interview, I'd like to play another song to put you kind of in the mood for the angels that are going to be coming through. Jennifer Hoffman, our gifted intuitive that is with us today, and I'd like to play Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray, as inspired from John Lennon. Thank you. And you were listening to Appreciated Angels, as I had mentioned before. This tune was originally channeled in from Spirit from John Lennon through the mediumship of Robert Murray, and we encourage you to visit Bob's site at www.thestarsstillshine.com, where he has released a new album called Dead on the Ed Sullivan Show, and it's very, very wonderful. And involves many of the performers from, you know, the Beatles and others that are still creating. And Ed Sullivan apparently has his show back up and running, so that's all very interesting. And I have a few lyrics that I would share. I would like to share with you from the song, and it will set the tone for our work with Jennifer Hoffman and the Angels. And these are the words, as channeled from John Lennon through me. And these, eventually we hope to get some talented people that want to help produce the music with us to put the music to form. And we have contacted Ladybug as of last week. So if you hadn't heard the interview done with Queen Ladybug, she's just extraordinary. We encourage you to tune in to those archives. Appreciated Angels. Appreciate the angels in your life. Appreciate what we have done and are all about you now. More than you can know, the angels hover around you, helping more than you can appreciate. Appreciate the angels more than you can ever know. We appreciate the angels more. There is a way to know truth. Truth is within. Angels hover near and all about us. Wings of the angels bring peace again to earth, and we will know we are all one. Angels bring us peace. I'll be looking down from this exalted state, appreciated angels in my life. And now I see you all looking down on you, and I'm an angel now with love from John Lennon. So that's a condensed version of the Appreciated Angels, and I can't wait to hear what Ladybug has done with that. Now, I'd like to then tell you a little bit about our guest. Jennifer, are you with us there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful to have you, and thank you for coming in to feature your wonderful work with Archangel Uriel on such short notice. And I'd like to read from your bio a little bit, and then we'll kind of launch into our interview on based on some of the things you've said here about yourself. And Jennifer Hoffman is a chosen channel for the Archangel Uriel, and she is a lifelong intuitive and spiritual healer with many life experiences that have allowed her to develop the compassion, understanding, and faith that is required of light workers. As a young child, I lived through a life-threatening illness that resulted in a near-death experience and left me physically paralyzed. I spent much of my early and mid-childhood in a wheelchair with leg braces and had to relearn how to walk again. Although my parents were told that I would never walk again, the doctors called my complete recovery a miracle. Then, as a young teenager, I was hit and run over by a car while riding my bicycle and had a second near-death experience. Again, I was unhurt and walked away from the accident. I had been told by God during both of my journeys through the tunnel that I had work to do and had to... having trouble reading this, it didn't come out.
I'd been told by God that I had work to do and that I needed to stay, although I desperately wanted to go home.
I see. Well, that is, you know, that is fascinating. And I want to just finish with a little bit about your website. She is honored to be part of this effort, an opportunity to heal karma and apply the lessons of forgiveness in all aspects of our lives. And Archangel Uriel has channeled a number of books and articles, and there are more to come. And her website is http www.urielheals.com. And if you could continue with that thought, that is so traumatic. I just can't believe you went through all that, and you're so whole today. It's just amazing, Jennifer.
You know, it is amazing. I remember as a very young child, and I was 4 when I was sick, and I literally, it happened overnight. I remember going to school, and I didn't feel well, and the last thing I remember is laying in the back seat of my parents' car, looking out the back window at the stars in the sky, and then I woke up in the hospital a week later, and I couldn't move. I was paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, my God. What was it? Do you know?
I had something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which they found. At first, they thought I had polio, because this was in the early 60s. I'm giving my age away.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the early 60s, so they knew I had polio, but I by the time I left the hospital, and I was in the hospital for months, like 3 or 4 months, I could use my hands again and my arms, but I couldn't walk. And
devastating. You were only 4 years old?
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember. I didn't really learn how to completely walk again until I was almost 11. So I didn't learn how to ride, for example, ride a bicycle until I was 11 years old. And then about a year later is when I was hit by a car again that literally came out of nowhere. And the last thing I remember about that is flying through the air, hitting the hood of the man's car. And the next thing I know, I'm laying underneath the car looking up at this very white-faced man. And I walked away. I wasn't hurt. Well, the car had run over me.
He had actually run over you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually ran over me. I was underneath his car. I was in between the wheels.
That's truly miraculous, Jennifer.
Well, and during that time, I was told, and I was kind of scolded at the time, and they told me to stop, you know, trying to go home because it wasn't my time, and that I had a lot of work to do, and I had to stay. You know, I remember begging God to please let me go home, and then
you were already beginning to ascend to the spiritual dimensions, and is that when you met Archangel Uriel by chance, or?
Actually, I have, you know, dealt with the spiritual realm a lot since that time, but Archangel Uriel first came to me about 5 years ago, and I was channeling for a friend, and she kept on staring at me, and I looked at her, and I said, okay, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking at me like that? And she said, you're just glowing, and your voice is different.
Mm.
And I asked who it was, and I heard Archangel Uriel. I didn't even know who Archangel Uriel was. So I went home and looked him up on the internet. And it was not long after that that I was told to start the website that I have and start the newsletter and start writing. And I was just terrified. I come from a very religious family, none of whom, most of whom have some intuitive ability, but none of whom actually do anything. And it was very difficult for me to start writing and start doing the spiritual work that I do. And finally, after several months of constant hounding, literally hounding by Archangel Uriel and the angels, I finally said, okay, I will do this. I will start the website. I will start the newsletter. And, you know, you need to tell me what to write about, and you need to, you know, tell me how to do this. So the first one went out 3 years ago, actually last week, and it went out to three people, me and two friends that I asked to sign up to make sure that everything worked right. And 3 years later, the newsletter goes out to about 15,000 people a week, and I write it every week. I have for the last 3 years. The first one I wrote, I thought, well, I can do this once a month. This is too hard. And then Uriel said, no, you need to write the newsletter every week. I'm thinking, every week?
Oh, listen, I completely understand what you're saying, because I do a newsletter with Diana every week, and she hounds me too. I mean, it's really weird, though, when you first get introduced to spirit and you have to take the courage to get your work out there on the internet, you know.
Exactly.
It takes guts to do that.
And one of
But I'm amazed.
One of the things that I had to deal with, and I know many light workers have to deal with as well, is the, you know, the criticism and judgment from my family. You know, my friends thought it was great,
yeah.
My family thought it was terrible. And most of them know what I do. They don't speak about it. However, they do call me occasionally for a reading.
That's exactly my family. I can completely understand and sympathize, because they condemned and said that it couldn't be Princess Diana, and they didn't want anything to do with it, except for my parents, who were very nice about it. And everybody loved the website, lots of compliments, even in the family, but they didn't like what I was doing. And it's very, very difficult to deal with families and religious indoctrination, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very, very difficult.
So your friends loved it, though, and the family was still willing to get a free reading any time, right?
And no one from my family gets my newsletter, and that's okay. I have an extremely large family, so I mean I'm not talking about like 10 people here. I have a very large family, but
a lot of brothers and sisters then.
Not a lot, but I have a very large extended family. I have a lot of cousins, aunts, uncles, cousins, first cousins. I have 26 first cousins, and then they all now have children. But one of the things that we are really being propelled into right now is to finding our path and doing our spiritual work. And the angels will help us with that, but not until we get rid of the fear that we have about it and the fear of the judgment. And the fear of our own inability to do this work. One of the things that Archangel Uriel talks about a great deal in the newsletter is that the gifts that we have are truly our gifts. And the universe would never ask us to do something that we weren't capable of doing. If we don't feel that we have the ability to do it, it's because we haven't really explored it yet or even gotten past our fear through which we limit ourselves. Once we do that, you know, it takes practice like anything else, but the ability is there. It's just a matter of us allowing ourselves to express it.
Well, I think that's very admirable, and I'm very impressed with the 15,000 mailing list. I mean, I have maybe 30 on my mailing list for the Diana messages, I often doubt that it's doing the good that it is, but I know that her work is all about peace in the Middle East, and I want to get to that during the course of our interview, too. But go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, the difficulty lies in, for example, in getting the message out, you know, like anything else on the material plane, it does take time. I mean, it's taken me a long time to get to the place where I am now. But once you put the messages out, you know, one person tells their friends and then they tell their friends, and it actually it builds its own momentum. Another thing Archangel Uriel says is every healer, every teacher has an audience. The audience may be 10 people, it may be a million people. It doesn't matter. The number of people who hear you doesn't matter, because each person who needs to hear the message that you have for them will come to you, and they will bring the people also to you who need to hear what you have to say. Many clients that I work with are, you know, think, well, who's going to listen to me and who's going to hear me, and what do I have to say to people? And it's not what you have to say that's important. It's that there are people who need to hear it and who need that particular vibration of teaching. Those are the ones who will come to you and who will be blessed by the knowledge that you share.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. And I also see that in my work, I share these messages and the music with, for instance, Bob Murray. And now we're collaborating with another person, Queen Ladybug, who was on the show last week. And so there is a kind of an energy vibration for those that connect to the other side, where there's a likeness of attraction.
Exactly.
And like attracts like. And so you tend to work in circles of light workers, but that comes after you put your light work out on the internet. And I know that, you know, in groups as well, I've had a private study group going on Ascension, and some of the folks that are involved in that have begun hearing from my guides. So I told them, I think it's like the guides realize that they're open, so they know that this person has a good and honest heart, and they're going to come through and start getting messages, you know. So it sort of works. I think there's a spiritual connection on the other side, and groups and clusters of like-minded, as your group with those that listen to Archangel Uriel. And there are others that resonate more so with Archangel Michael, and there are others that are resonating with the Ascended Masters. And so there's a whole vibration of like meets like. And I think it's wonderful that you're opening people up to Uriel, who is a little bit more mysterious, I think, than the other archangels. And I was wondering if you could maybe go into some of his attributes and some of the things you've learned, you know, from Uriel and some of his purposes.
Archangel Uriel hasn't made much of an appearance before, mainly because the earth and the people on the earth had to be at a certain vibration in order to be able to not only receive the energy, but understand it. And Archangel Uriel is said to hold the keys to the Garden of Eden, which is basically the keys to heaven. And the message of Archangel Uriel above all is to, you know, to give forgiveness to yourself and to everyone, because it's through forgiveness that we truly remove the veil between the spiritual and the material world. And as long as we don't have forgiveness, and by forgiveness I mean complete unconditional forgiveness, many of Archangel Uriel's early messages were about forgiveness and what that means. And I had people write to me and say, but this person did horrible things to me, you know, I'll never forget them. And no, you won't. But by not practicing forgiveness, you carry not only the burden of that memory with you, but you carry the energy of that experience with you throughout your lifetime and into your next lifetime. One of his very strong messages is that we are here to heal our karma. You know, karma we carry with us through all of our past life experiences. And the only reason karma exists is because we can't practice forgiveness with each other. If we truly practice forgiveness, then there would be no war. There would be no conflict because there would be no reason for it.
Mm-hmm. And well, you know, I think that your writing with Uriel and just very practical, down-to-earth suggestions in your newsletter is something very different that I'm noticing there's a connection between metaphysical thought and action with Uriel. And he seems to be the master of the thought realm. Is that correct?
The thought realm, yes, but where thought takes form. You know, thoughts mm-hmm. are, as they, there's a website called TUT.com, thoughts are things, and they really are, and thoughts have their own energy. They have as much or even more energy than words. And Archangel Uriel kind of controls that realm where the power of our thoughts meets the energy of the universe and create and manifests the things that, you know, whatever we're focusing our intention on. Archangel Uriel is also, for example, in charge of miracles and creating that aspect of living. You know, when we live miraculous lives, what we think about literally manifests before our eyes. And when we move into higher levels of vibration, that interaction, that space between the time we think of something and the time it comes to us gets shorter and shorter. Archangel Uriel also is rules things like astrology and the internet. Without the internet, you know, we wouldn't be talking, and I wouldn't have nearly the list that I do, because the internet makes it possible for us to spread the word.
But absolutely, it's a tool for the light worker for sure.
But when you think about it, Archangel Uriel's energy is also about connection. And you know, when you think about how the internet connects people, it's truly amazing. I get emails every week from people all over the world, from Bulgaria and Romania and South Africa and Australia and, of course, the United States. And I'm always amazed when people write to me and tell me how much they enjoy the newsletter and tell me where they're from. I think, you know, I just send these newsletters out, and then they just kind of mysteriously go into all these little places and into people's mailboxes, and they read them. And here I am, you know, sitting at my desk on a Sunday night writing my newsletter, and by Monday morning, it's gone to, you know, every corner of the earth.
And I know, and I feel that way about the radio show, too. And it's such a divine blessing to touch the hearts of people all over the world mm-hmm. with these angel messages. I mean, and basically, it seems to me like Archangel Uriel, as I'm getting a mental picture, he's coming through and kind of showing me that this is his original plan, is to bring his energy and ground it a little bit more and uplift humanity at this time, because we are going through some very difficult changes on the earth plane, not just as light workers, but certainly the people in the Middle East are still suffering from the effects of war. And there's so much chaos going on the third dimensional level anyway. And so, you know, I was sort of wondering what his thoughts were about bringing some of that chaos to healing or ending war or that sort of thing.
Well, war won't end until people practice forgiveness. But one thing that people have to understand about the Middle East is that right now the earth grid is changing. The energy centers, the power centers of the earth are being shifted. And the vortexes that allow certain kinds of energy into the planet are being moved. The Middle East contains a vortex, a very large vortex, that literally covers, it's unseen, like the entire area of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, certainly Iran and Iraq. That vortex allows a lot of the truly third-dimensional energy that, you know, the energy that, that most people live through or most people know as living, that still has, you know, all the emotional pulls, all the emotional ties, and all the fear.
There's a lot of karma there, isn't there?
Very much so. But it's also, as long as that area remains in conflict, that vortex is allowed to stay open. And that's why it's important for us to raise the vibrations on other parts of the planet so that we can help that vortex close and allow other vortexes to open that can channel higher level energy into the planet.
Right on, because, you know, it is. It's a self-perpetuating mechanism almost, you know, the terror, the fear, the horror that's going on there. And I know the archangels don't want it, and they all have various assignments, you know, that they're working on to work with that area in a direct or indirect way. But we here in the U.S. Can continue doing our light work. I know the messages of light from Diana that I have do go all over, and they are diplomatic solutions that might be very useful and would have been very useful had they been implemented by, you know, any of the administrations. But she does have this diplomatic solutions, and so much of this can be solved with diplomacy. But again, there are so many karmic debts, and there's a lot of negative energy, and the more war there is, the more there is a need for cleansing. So, you know, we're in these earth changes as well, and, you know, I read some fascinating material on your website about Burial's comments about Katrina and the tsunami, if you would care to enlighten us about those areas.
Well, there are several... I'll go to the tsunami first because I remember that quite well, only because on that day, it was actually Christmas Day.
Right.
I was living in Arizona at the time, and I had been invited by a friend to her house, a friend who was actually quite an interesting, very much a very, very strong earth energy. I was invited to her house, and she had just moved into this house, and we were going to have dinner together, and then we were going to do a cleansing on her house. And I didn't know she had invited another friend. And I was told to bring her a housewarming present, and I brought her a starfish that came from the Pacific Ocean that I had, and actually it was quite a large starfish, and it was white, that I had picked up on a trip, I think to Fiji or someplace like that. And I was told to give her that and to put on it a crystal that I had picked up from a crystal cave in Australia. So I fixed that, put a little hot glue gun, I glued the crystal on the starfish, and I took it to her house. Well, we had dinner, and then we sat around her table because under her house was a very large earthkeeper crystal. And the time we were having this ceremony was exactly the time that the tsunami was hitting in on the other side of the world. And as we were doing this, I could see this shaft of light coming from the other side of the world, and I could see this shaft of light coming up, and there were all these souls in this light. And we had no idea what had happened because we didn't have the television on, and none of us really watched
the
television.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I didn't see until the next day. And a friend of mine called me, and she said, "Did you hear what happened?" And I said, "No, I haven't had my television on." And she said, "Well, turn the TV on and look what happened." And I saw that there was a tsunami, which, of course, had happened right at the time we were doing this. There are a lot of souls who have decided to leave the planet at this time. Some of them because their work is finished. Others because they just aren't ready to do the final work that the shift requires. And the other reason for these kinds of international incidents, and several just happened this week in the United States with the bus that fell off the highway and that terrible tornado.
I know, and I was going to send out, I meant to mention a prayer at the beginning, but
that destroyed
all those. people in your prayers, those
that's
listening.
Mm-hmm. When those things happen, everyone, and not just everyone in that community or in the United States, but everyone around the world has this outpouring of compassion for the people to whom it happened, the parents, for example, of these children. With the case of the tsunami, it was, you know, the people there who just within a space of minutes, their lives were changed forever. With the tsunami, there were people not only from those areas, but there were people from all over the world who were affected by the storm, because there were a lot of people there on vacation. When those kinds of things happen, people's heart chakras open up, and they give compassion and a lot of love and heart energy to other people. If we could learn to open our heart chakras on our own without having to have these incidents happen that force us to open our heart chakras, the earth wouldn't have to, both the earth and the people participating in these experiences wouldn't have to create these terrible, traumatic situations where everyone just looks, you know, pauses in their life and says a prayer for these people because everyone just immediately has compassion for them. So many of these incidents are specifically built to allow people to open up at the heart level. And one of the things that the shift is doing is most of our energy is grounded in the three lower chakras. Well, in order for us to fully connect with the source, our central energy spot or our central energy concentration needs to come from the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. So we need to move our energy so that it's really grounded in the heart chakra. And the way we do
that
is to open up our heart chakra. And, you know, we can learn to open it up by ourselves, or we can have it open up for us by witnessing these terrible incidents where people are killed or people are hurt, and we have to stop what we're doing and really focus on sending them love and compassion and empathy. And that's the purpose of some of these events. Hurricane Katrina was an interesting, was a very interesting storm because it actually, there were two storms. There was Hurricane Katrina, and there was a storm after Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
The mm-hmm. first one that did the majority of the damage was followed days later by a second one that was really not supposed to be a very strong storm. And I was told that there were warnings that the storm after Hurricane Katrina was supposed to be quite strong. And I was told that no, it was supposed to be a level 2 and not a level 5. And I was told to pray. Just start praying that the storm be brought down in size and that it not be allowed to do the damage that it could have done. Because the second storm, had it been as big, would literally have wiped New Orleans off the map. When Hurricane Katrina came, there was a lot of energy that had to be cleared out of that area, and that's another vortex, and it was another opening for compassion. It was another opportunity for people to give, and there were some amazing acts of love and sacrifice and selflessness.
There certainly will, and it was definitely an opening for that. It's also unfortunate that there were other incidents of violence and crime and police brutality and you name it. It seemed to bring everything out, the best and the worst, you know.
The part about, you know, the police brutality, the lack, you know, the inaction on the part of the government, all of those things contribute to people's awakening. And there are so many things going on. There's so much, you know, misleading and false information. It's time for people, and again, it's done through various means, but it's time for people to wake up and realize their own power and to not believe, as they've been taught for many, many years, that they are completely powerless and that the only spiritual power exists in the church, because we each have a connection to the source. We are part of the source. And
that's right.
No one is any greater than or less than anyone else. We all have the same level of spiritual knowing, we all have the same level of spiritual power, we all have exactly the same connection. It's our willingness to allow that to open or not that makes us different.
I think that's very key. And I think you have some very basic metaphysical principles that I haven't seen as so well defined as I would with your work. And what you're saying about forgiveness so that you can move into the higher dimensions and begin to contact your guides and open your heart chakra, I would confirm that. And I'm seeing also that you are understanding these tragedies on a whole different level through the guidance of Archangel Uriel, but it seems like you have the metaphysical apparatus really down, and it's different than what I've seen with other light workers that I've interviewed on the show. I tend to have a lot of prophecy and such from the angels and advice, and I was told that there would be even more earth changes, and this was a while ago, and that people kind of needed to take kind of a personal assessment and learn to go within, you know, and to access their own inner guidance. And this is what you're saying, too, that the church is no longer the authority in this new age, that we have to develop our own communion with God. Mm-hmm. And I would wholeheartedly agree with you on that, and I think it's almost essential that if we don't do it, and we continue to listen to outside authority, as in the case of Hurricane Katrina, very often outside authority lets us down, disappoints us, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, it's a power struggle, and Archangel Uriel mm-hmm. often says that, you know, there are, as it says in the Bible, you know, there are battles going on that we don't even see, we're not even aware of, but those mm-hmm. same battles are reflected within us. Everything that's going on in the world is reflected within us, within each of us. When we feel powerless and we are afraid, we are just reflecting out to the world that there is only fear and powerlessness. Each one of us is as important as the other, and each one of us has the ability to make changes in the world. Even though we think that we are just an individual, each one of us is important to the overall outcome of creating heaven on earth, and Archangel Uriel messages often mention this aspect of creating heaven on earth. Heaven is not a place we go when we die. Heaven is a state of spiritual being. And when you're able to truly connect to the source and remove the veil so that, you know, we're still in the world, but we can create a spiritual aspect of life when we realize that we are part of the universe and we are part of the universal flow, and it's just a matter of us releasing fear and giving forgiveness and seeing people not as they are, as they appear to us in the material plane, but seeing them as their spiritual self. Because when we see them as in spirit, we see them with their fears, with their what they see are inadequacies, and then we can forgive them because we understand what they are doing and maybe not why they're doing it, but it's no longer about us.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really stepping out of the duality that's conditioned into us by the third dimension and really learning to step within the fourth and fifth dimension, which are mm-hmm. basically nothing more than your spiritual heritage, your right to communicate with your angels and your guides and the ascended masters and know that you're loved.
It's where we came from. For us, mm-hmm. for us and all light workers, two things. One is you all volunteered to come here.
Mm-hmm.
As difficult as it may seem, we all volunteered to come here because we knew how important it was. The other thing is we aren't stepping into some unknown or unfamiliar energy. The energy of the fourth and fifth dimension for us is home. We mm-hmm. we had to take on density, not only physical density, but also spiritual density, in order to do the work we came to do here. And we had to work within the earth and within the earth's energy as it exists at the time in order to help bring the energy of the earth back up to its home, which is the fourth and fifth dimension.
Right. So really what we're doing as light workers is all about the restoration of the entire planet. And that's where I think, you know, the work that you're doing with Uriel is marvelous, and it's so clear. So much of the channeling that I read on the internet can be so confusing and in-depth, you know, and your work is not like that. It's different. It's very metaphysical. And I noticed that you're also living in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and I've been out there to the Unity Village, and I wondered if you had an association with the Unity Church at all, or if that was at all an influence on your work. Was there a connection with that at all?
I've been going to Unity churches for a long time.
Me too.
I actually have been to Unity Church a few times, and I'm thinking of doing some classes there. But I have to tell you, I have to say something about moving to Kansas City to the Kansas City metro area, because Archangel Uriel's is very important, and I've gotten a lot of questions about that. Right now, all light workers are being directed to the geographic areas where their energy is required, and it's part of setting up the earth grid. So years ago, I lived in Kansas City, and I moved away about 15 years ago and swore I would never move back. And a year ago, I woke up one morning, and I heard, "You're moving to Kansas City." And I thought, oh, no. within three weeks, I was gone. Within 3 weeks, I had a job, I bought a house, had my stuff packed, and I moved. And
so you were just going on the angel's directive completely.
Absolutely.
Because I can relate to being in the Midwest. I'm in central Illinois, near Springfield, Illinois, and it's like corn and beans. And sometimes I just think, what am I doing here? I'm spinning my wheels. You know, there's very little. I mean, thank God for the BBS network and the light work I'm able to do internationally through the show. But right here in this little area, it's like people are so closed-minded to this kind of thing.
It is, and some light workers are being moved to places, and they're just thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And it's not about them moving here. And one thing I would suggest to anyone in that situation is that you realize you're doing the universe's work, and you have been placed there because your energy is very important to that particular area, to the grid that needs to be set, the energy that needs to be brought into that area. The other thing is to ask your angels to make it easy for you. Ask them for help. When I was told to move, I told my angels, okay, but this will be easy. I am not struggling through this by myself. I give you my permission. I will move. Make it happen. And they did. I said 3 weeks. And
wow. I'm really impressed with your business acumen and how you got your light work going to the 15,000 or plus list, too. I mean, I think that's quite admirable. And you said that you had some business experience for 10 years on the Internet?
I've been to college, I have a number of degrees, but I also spent the last 10 years of my career in internet technology. And because I have that background, I thought it was because I was going to be the vice president of, a corporate VP in some big internet company, which I tried to do for many years. But instead, it's actually given me the ability to market my business really well, to build my websites, to, you know, have the resources that I need to get this going and to get it started. So my business, the business acumen that I worked so hard to achieve didn't have the outcome that I thought it would. It actually helped me to do my spiritual work. And when I asked Archangel Uriel, you know, why I had such a hard time and why I couldn't just, you know, be a corporate vice president, and he just kind of laughed at me and said, that's not your path. And you know, I had tried even to do it not very long ago, a few years ago. And his message to me was, you can do that if you wish, but you won't have the results that you want because it's not your path. And he kept on telling me that's not your path. So at some point, I just gave up and I said, okay, fine. I will do this, but make it easy. And
well, I think I need to put that message out then. Let's make it easy for all of the rest of us light workers who are still struggling
and, you know,
to get our messages heard, you know. I'm going to learn from you some of the business tools you gave me tips on in the email too, you know. I think that's great. And I think the Internet is really our resource and our way of reaching all over the world. And really, thank God for Don and Doug Newsom and the BBS Network and all the wonderful things that they're doing to bring God's message and light to the world. But, you know, with workers like yourself. And go ahead with what you're going to say, and then we're going to have to kind of tie up our interview here.
The last thing I want to say, Mark and Andrew Uriel, is that light work doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, it never was our intention from the beginning, from when we created our path, for it to be difficult. We can make it as easy or as hard as we want. When we ask our angels for help, they will help us smooth the path. There are things that we must learn, and sometimes we must learn them through difficulty. But in order to develop the compassion that lightworkers need to help others, they often need to experience what their clients, what the people they'll be helping are going through. For example, someone who knows what it is to have no money, knows what it is to go through a difficult emotional breakup, knows illness, knows what it is to be homeless or nearly homeless. Those experiences develop a level of compassion and understanding that can be transferred to the clients or to the people who need help, and it gives their work authenticity. Most of us, in addition to being light workers, also have very strong indigo energy, and the indigo is all about experiencing things, you know, learning the hard way. That isn't the case.
I love what your work was saying about the indigos. If you could elaborate just a little bit on the indigos before we close, too.
Okay. The indigos are, a lot is said about the indigos who are now in their late teens and early 20s, and their energy is very forward, it's very direct, they've come to initiate a lot of change, they've come to, you know, help kind of lead the change that's supposed to happen in the world. But the indigo energy is also very difficult because indigos can be very trusting and people let them down. Most of us light workers, and especially those of us who are in our 40s and early 50s, also carry very strong indigo energy. And that's why we have, for example, never felt like we fit in different places or never felt like we belonged or couldn't lead like a normal life. We are the pioneers of change, and we also carry the indigo energy because we are the parents of this current indigo energy. And we had to understand the energy so that we could parent our children differently. I know many parents who are adult indigos, and I'm one of them, raise their children completely differently than their own parents did. They were much more open. They were much more communicative, much more, you know, used much more creative methods of parenting because they knew what it felt like to be forced to follow orders, which indigos don't do, to do things because I said so, which, again, indigos don't do. And I write a lot in my newsletters about indigos, mainly because, well, I was told to about a year and a half ago, actually 2 years ago now, but it's because so many people who are adult indigos are struggling, and right now we're arriving at this place where adult indigos are kind of coming into their own and realizing that their work is not the 9-to-5, the corporate job. Most of them are very creative. It's time for them to start businesses. It's time for them to write, to do their spiritual work. When given free expression, the indigo energy is wonderful. When it's held back, the indigo energy, you know, can go into depression. The bad side of the indigo energy or the difficult side of it involves, you know, drug addictions, alcoholism, depression,
and even suicide. I saw that on your website. Jennifer, we're going to have to cut it short here, but your insight about the indigo is very well worth reading, and thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm sure we could go on and on, and I appreciate your joining us today. I want to direct our listeners to her website again at www.uriel.com, where you can sign up for her newsletter and get personal readings with Jennifer and coaching sessions and all kinds of good information. And I want to invite you as well to visit my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where you can sign up for angel readings and see some of the messages from John Lennon, Princess Diana, Mother Teresa, and the Archangels. And we thank you for joining us on The Peaceful Planet. We have another wonderful guest for next week, and we're going to close out the show and play Something for Gossamer Wings. And thank you very much, Jennifer, for joining us and sharing your wonderful insights from Archangel Uriel. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and many blessings, especially to all of those so affected by the storms and accidents and so on that have recently affected us. Many blessings to all. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.